Well, as you know, we've been having fun with 1 Corinthians chapter 13, so we're going back. I know, I know. I'm not going to pick on you too much. How's that? But I said to the Lord, what do you want for tonight? And he just didn't say anything. He just let me sit. And then around, I would say 6:15, he took me to the next level. And we're going to be stretching on, number one, the reality of love, and then the higher order. In verse 8, it says, love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. Now that's intense. As for prophecy, that is the gift of interpreting the divine will of the purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. That is, it will lose its value and be superseded by... What is going to be superseding all these gifts? Truth. I believe the next wave of the Lord is going to bring the spirit of truth into hearts where they're no longer going to be questioning themselves, but they'll be absolutely, completely convinced about the will of God for them. Number 9, for our knowledge is fragmentary, incomplete and imperfect, and our prophecy or teaching is fragmentary, incomplete and imperfect. But verse 10 says, but when the complete, perfect, total comes, the incomplete, the imperfect will vanish away and become antiquated, void, and superseded. Verse 11 is very important. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. Now that I have become a man, I am done with childish ways and have put them aside. Why would St. Paul stress that reality in such a place? Why would he put that in there when he's just got done telling you that the gifts are going to have an end? The better thing that is coming is truth and love. That's a good question, right? But why would he put... Yes, go ahead.
Well, is he telling us to it's time to grow up?
Yeah, no kidding. Time to grow up. You cannot continue in your childish ways because God cannot complete himself in you until you mature. So he's stressing the fact, when I was a child, I talked like a child, etc. Now I have become a man. How did he get there?
He had to grow up.
Yeah. Did he grow up in the natural with procedures that brought him to a mature manhood?
No. He grew up in the spirit.
Think about it.
Inside job.
In the natural, we all grow up. And there's a procedure visible. We go from childish things and then we start maturing, and some of us mature quite early. And we think we're already mature, yet we're still teenagers. And we think we're all grown up. How many know it? We talked about Peter this morning. Peter is a perfect example of a mature man acting and reacting like a child that is a teenager. Yes or no? I'll never deny you, and the next moment, he blows it. Yet he was convinced that he was mature, that he could defend the Lord. But the proof was in the pudding. When the Lord let himself be bound, he decided it wasn't a good idea. Judas did the same thing. So, I'm going to give you a few scriptures that might help you to mature in the future and to look for that maturity so that you don't stay in childish thinking patterns. I already gave you 1 Corinthians 13, but I'm going to give you 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20. Brothers, stop thinking like children in regards to the evil. Be infants. But in your thinking, be adults. Pretty good word, right? Ephesians 4:13. Ephesians 4:13. Until we all reach unity of the faith. Forgive me. Until we all reach unity in the faith. And in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Wow. Are you ready for the manifestation of the fullness of the anointing in you?
Sure.
How many see the fullness of the anointing hit you part-time?
Yes.
Put your hand up if you feel it part-time. All right. Part-time is good. It's a good start, but it's still not maturity. So the body of Christ is being pressed. And my job is to awaken you that there's more than you've had, and there's more to come from him. Okay? Now you say, well, what's it for? Why would you want to mature? I like being a kid. No responsibility. I like being lawless. Did you ever have that? I like it.
Yeah,
we all do. We all go through those things. Yet, some will awaken to the truth at different ages. Some will grow and mature much earlier than others. So you can't look at your natural age and think that that's going to have some effect. Because I've seen some people that are 80, 90 years old, and they're still acting like children. And they're reacting like children in their walk with God. So the age level has nothing to do with it. It is, however, a maturing of your spirit and a growing of your spirit. Not a growing in knowledge, because you've had some people who have an incredible amount of knowledge and yet fail miserably. I want to take a side note for a moment, because I just had a little flashback. And when I get those flashbacks, I try to obey them as best I can. Because if I don't, I'm going to be in trouble. You see, the other night when I got home, I happened to get myself a little snack, and there was a gentleman on Trinity Broadcasting, and his name is, wait a minute, Lord have mercy, I wrote it down, but now I can't see where I wrote it. Huh? I don't know if he was an atheist or not. I know he was in San Diego, and he was a private detective.
Oh, yes. The one
okay.
Wrote Temple.
Huh?
You wrote the book Temple.
Yes.
Yes.
The book Temple.
Yes.
I believe he may be the same, because I didn't get the whole program. Oh, here. His name is Robert Carnuk. C-O-R-N-U-K-E. And I believe he wrote the same, a book called... There's gold in the gold of Exodus.
I believe you're right.
Because I read that back in the middle 90s.
He was an FBI agent, too.
Yes, I believe he was. All right. Now, the reason I'm bringing that up is because this man used his natural talents to investigate the Word of God according to what is written about certain places and certain things, and he's being crucified by the religious realm or the religious church. Now, the book the temple, he declared loud and clear that he's got enough proof that where the Temple Mount is now is according to traditions of men. And he went on to explain a great deal of stuff. And it blessed me because I remember reading the book, The Gold of Exodus, and how awesome that was because it was based in truth. I even had a tour guide, Izzy. And I drove that poor man into the ground because I started to tell him some of the truth, and he was so stuck in his traditions as a Jew, that he basically said, it can't be. So I gave him the name of the book, and I gave him the information. Whether he ever got to buy one, that's up to him. But the proof is still there. The bottom line is, he made a comment. He said, there is so much tradition built into Christianity when there was no evidence in the natural to verify. And I know that because when I was there, there were some places where we would walk and people would say, oh my, this was where, this is where, this is that happened. And I'd feel absolutely nothing. And I'd say, is there something wrong with me? And there were other places where they said nothing and I felt the anointing. And when I would feel the anointing, I'd say, wow, this place is awesome. The Lord's presence is here. Something happened here. And one of those places was when we went into the cellar of the convent. And how Izzy got us in there, I don't know, whether it was Moshe or somebody, but we weren't supposed to be there. There's a small convent in the city of Jerusalem. And the sisters wanted to develop their basement area. So they decided that they were going to open up their basement because they had a crawl space, that was it. And the building was put up maybe 100 years ago. Well, to make a long story short, when they started to dig, the investigators got a hold of they were digging, so they wanted to see what was down there, and then they discovered there was something more than they knew. And when they decided to clean it all up, they found these huge stones, some of them as large as this carpet. Not the 9x12, but the... And oblong stones on the ground. And in one area, you can see carvings in it. Here was the surprise. When they investigated the carvings, they realized that that's the game the Roman guards were playing, and it was identified by name, and it's actually carved into the stone. So they knew this is where Jesus was tried. And I'll tell you, the anointing in that area was so intense that you could barely stand up. And in some areas, I couldn't stand up because there wasn't enough room. So they were never allowed to develop their basement, but it's become an awesome place to visit. And the presence of the Lord is there. And I said, now, that doesn't match, because other areas supposedly were where all these traditional churches were built and special things and special things. And to me, it was just plain advertising.
Didn't he also say that there was something about the Wailing Wall?
Yes. The entire Wailing Wall, when they dug underneath the bottom stone,
yes.
Here was the highlight. Yes. They found a coin that could not get there in any other way, but it was there because the Romans are the ones that built that Wailing Wall. And the Dome of the Rock is not what it was. It was actually built on the area where the Roman guards would literally live while they were overruling Jerusalem. So it is not even close to where the Temple Mount is. So he started to investigate according to the instructions that were given to David and to Solomon, etc. And to their surprise, they even located where the animals were killed. In the lower part, so you have the Dome of the Rock up here, you have these incredible steps, And down in here was where the new temple could be built because it's owned by the Jews. So there would be no World War III if they decided to build it there. However, tradition says, no, it's up there. But the Word of God verifies that it's down below. Because in one of the scriptures he quoted, St. Paul goes down the steps to the temple.
In the city of David.
In the city of David. So, here's the quote. He said, we have photographs, and they showed some of the pictures, of the troughs that were actually carved into the stone. And that would be where the blood would run when they killed their animals for offerings. Then they showed the holes that were actually cut out of the stone where they would tie the animals so that they couldn't get away. Because in case you forgot, they didn't have iron that much. So it was easier to make a hole in the stone and literally put a rope around it. And then the biggest clincher was water. At the top, where they claim that the temple might have been, because they still call it might, they think it's the Wailing Wall. But he said you cannot have a temple without flowing water. And at the top of that mountain, there's nothing of any kind of water. However, when you look in the city of David, where this trench was, and these other evidence and photographs, there is a spring where they would be able to wash, because let's face it, they had not only to wash the animals, they had to wash themselves. So without, huh? The Gihon, right. The Gihon Springs, thank you. So, you see, what I'm saying to you is, if you think like a person with knowledge and take the word for what it says instead of your traditions from religion, what are you going to have?
Truth.
The spirit of truth. And I was excited because it fit the scenario. And I kept saying, God, when am I going to share this? Because it's like a nugget, you know? And if you want, you can go on a website, because there was a website. Did anybody else write it down? No? Here we go. If you've got your pencil ready. I did such a good job that I don't know where I wrote it. Oh, here it is. www.baseinstitute.com.
Base.
B-A-S-E. Institute.com. And I'm sure if you went on the TBN network, you'd be able to locate it too. So, what am I saying? All these traditions that we've lived by, are they truth? Many of them are not. What about the Jews? How did they live? We've got a quote here of all their actions. Did they recognize the Lord? No, they failed. Well, wouldn't it be nice that the Spirit of Truth would come now? Wouldn't it be cool that we would grow up and mature? That not take evidence because Grandpa said so? Oh, and here was this other quote that was awesome. When he went to Jerusalem to investigate and take more photographs, he said he asked all the elders of the Jewish area that was present. And everyone from 30 on up said, we are not changing our mind. We'll walk on that wall, and that's our Wailing Wall. Mm-hmm. 30 years on, old on down to teenage said, aha, we will investigate. That's a truth. Because you see, the younger generation, when the older ones are gone and they're all done arguing, the younger ones will say, yes, let's go with truth. And that, for me, was exciting. That's saying the guys that are Ethan's age are able to handle the truth, but some of us are too old for it. Did you hear me? Some of us at our age are too old for the truth. You are stuck in much of what we've been taught. And I'm not accusing anybody. But that says to you, grow up. Take the truth for what it is. Don't sell it. But mature in your thinking. I've got a couple more. Hebrews 5:14. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. You better take that one to the bank. Distinguishing, recognizing, discerning, looking further than what you see up front. There are things that you may have guided yourself on, trusted other people's opinions, and all of a sudden, guess what? The other opinion was not God. It wasn't the Spirit of Truth speaking through them. What am I saying to you? Take what you hear, even from me. Go back to the Holy Ghost. Knock on the Lord's door. I want to know, is this something I can trust? And confirm it to me. Confirm it to me so that I'll know that it's you. She can buy anything. And some of us are still thinking the way she does. She trusts who's back there. Should I? But that's where we're at. That's what we're talking about. The 30-year-olds were willing to take on truth, take on evidence, and go to the place, investigate, and see for themselves. But the older folks, we like our tradition. And that is scary. Okay? I want to give you a couple more scriptures. She's having a good time. 1 Corinthians 3:1. 1 Corinthians 3:1. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. First Corinthians 3:2. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. Galatians 4:1. What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. Verse 2. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. Verse 3. So also when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. Time to grow up. Time to mature. Time to become what he's called us to be. And you know, that may sound like a very lightweight message, but I do believe that when you really look at what happens and all the division in the churches, there's got to be a lot of deception there. And I'm not picking on anybody, and I'm not picking on any traditions. That's not my... I don't go there. I figure this. If God wants to awaken them, he's got his Spirit available. And the Spirit of Truth is coming. I do believe that there's a lot of others out there telling you that same message, but it's time for us to prepare. Because when the Spirit of Truth comes, it will bring division. Okay?
Yes, it will.
So close your eyes right now. Just one minute. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Come with the truth.
Come with the truth.
Give me truth.
Give me truth.
So that when I have it in my heart, I will know that I will know.
I will know that I will know.
That it will be confirmed by your word.
That it will be confirmed by your word.
Not by the traditions of men.
Not by the traditions of men.
Or women.
Or women.
Let it be for God's glory.
Let it be for God's glory.
That your truth,
that your truth
will guide me.
Will guide me.
Counsel me.
Counsel me,
comfort me,
comfort me,
until I become ready to receive,
ready to receive
the fullness of Christ,
the fullness of Christ
in me.
In me.
Amen.